What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an adventure through Odyssey. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited. I'm Will here with John. It's time for our January news roundup, and there was a bit of news this month. The official podcast did a Q&A, which we'll get to in a second. But John, what did you think of how the Tokyo Comic wrapped up?
Okay. As someone who went to law school, let me say, I thought the lawyer scene was funny. It's totally inaccurate, but they even acknowledge that. I do wonder if the legal system, how different the legal system is in Japan versus America, because it definitely felt like an American legal system.
Yes.
I kind of hated the game console thing. That was more unrealistic than any of the law stuff.
You mean that Donna let him buy it, or
no? So okay, well, the really quick going back, the Jimmy thing being like no one liked that statue is kind of funny as an argument. Yes. Like everyone thought it was ugly. Like it's like kind of a funny bit.
It sounds like something a real unscrupulous lawyer in the real world might try.
Yeah. The fact that he's like, oh, well, we were at this game convention and bought a not yet on the market prototype game system that we were going to use for Honeymoons 2 and 3. But, like, it's a little weird. Like, first, it's just never, no one's selling, like, giving out prototype game systems, like next-gen game systems at, like, events.
See, I thought it was just some unreleased rare console.
No, I think they said, like, maybe it was, but then, like, it wouldn't be, like, they were giving it away or something.
Okay, so, I'll say this. I'm glad they brought the nerd convention thing full circle, because that felt like kind of a mean-spirited joke otherwise.
Yeah.
I also want to say, a funny thing happened with that. So, when Donna said Honeymoons 2 and 3, I thought, man, Donna is kind of high maintenance here. One of our cousins just got married and they went on one honeymoon and they just went on their second one within like a month of each other. So I guess that's a more common thing than I expected and does sort of explain why the family was allowed to come. But I still think that's a little ridiculous.
I agree.
So I did kind of like how the ending teases a Monte Carlo adventure though.
It does. I feel like my problem is the Rathbones were like more like cringy in this comic than I feel like they were in Odyssey. I mean, the Rathbones always were cringe, but people also like, I don't know. Maybe it's just seeing them do the stuff.
That's very possible. I also feel like nothing that happens in the Hawaii episode is quite as intense as the statue incident.
That's fair.
They didn't go to court over anything. So we've also started a new comic arc where it's Trent and Mandy going to prom together.
Cute.
Yay. It's nice, but again, it's like the Kurt and Lucy being an item thing. There's nothing in here that doesn't feel like it could have been an episode 10 years ago. Or 15 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit like fan shipping, which is fine. But it is like an interesting choice.
Is it fan shipping if a future, if a flash forward episode confirmed they got married?
Did they? I forgot.
Remember, like, the first time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
Like, basically the first episode where they introduce this relationship, we find out they're married and Trent is dead. In the future.
Did they confirm he was dead? I think it was just like, is your grandpa Trent?
Exactly. So, my only point is, so, not that I haven't enjoyed that storyline, but it's always lacked a certain amount of tension because we know they got married.
I forgot about that. I mean, I guess it's interesting they're going full on, like, the romance angle of it.
Yes. And I like how the episode's like Trent over fantasizing. I don't love Trendy as the couple name. Yeah.
That wasn't great.
Like, I guess it's a little better than Buckles, but not by much.
Fair. But we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's a cute idea. And then, as I said, then the January free comic is Jules driving, what's her name, Bridget home, picking up Olivia and missing part of a concert or something. Apparently it ties into Right Notes, Wrong Key in this album we're currently in.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about the December episode of the podcast where they did a Q&A about the Eugene episodes. Okay. So the first thing they talk about is that was not a sound like a Bernard. That was from when Eugene was going to leave to go to Africa and they thought he wasn't coming back. So they had Bernard write a poem. So that audio's just been sitting around.
Okay. That feels better.
I agree, but the way they had talked about it beforehand was like, we got a new Bernard. Or maybe we just misread that. I don't know.
Maybe they're like, oh, like, how we've done it is great. Like, it's an interesting choice. I mean, that is sweet that it's, like, old audio, but I guess that does confirm he's not coming back.
Right, I mean, he's still in the comics, because we didn't ever talk about this. Did you read the December free comic?
No.
Okay, so it's at the Harlequin Theater. If you want to read it now, just stop me. So Edwin is having a hard time finding people to be in a Christmas Carol with him, so he just does the Christmas Carol where he plays all the parts.
Maybe I saw part of this. Part of this rings a bell.
Yeah, so at the end, it cuts to Bernard and some person who may or may not be Red Hollard, I'm not really sure who it was supposed to be, in the audience saying, man, this is a great version of A Christmas Carol.
Oh, maybe I did read this. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Okay, so the next thing is someone asked about the chairman and Novacom, and they said it will be coming in a year or two once they wrap up some other character stuff. It will not take 20 years again. I don't know what that meant. So it kind of sounds to me like we're on the edge of a Novacom thing, but they probably want to, like, wrap up. Yeah. I don't know. The team. What other storylines are there?
I mean, the whole Jason stuff. So it could be that Jason.
Oh, yeah. Because the other thing is, it would make sense, like, because Alex and Cal, who were kids, figured out the Novacom stuff at the beginning of the Novacom saga. So it makes sense that the team somehow kind of fell into the first part of that story.
Yeah.
Then I don't know, no one cares about this but me. And if you listen to our last episode, we were talking about the Matthew thing. And the one thing they were talking about was, now that the kids are voiced by adults, it gives them a little more story freedom to, like, do long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
So I'm just surprised they've never tried to replace Matthew, but that's not really the point. If you listen to our last episode, we were talking about, like, wouldn't it be great if Matthew just popped into this episode to give that story some closure? But John made a good point. It's to Odyssey's credit, the friendship basically ended. However, Matthew and Camilla have basically disappeared from the show.
Yeah.
And this was my favorite question. Somebody asked, what are the ages of the kids? And they said, we recently decided this, so probably right before they recorded. I didn't write down the exact numbers, but
They called up the Odyssey writers. It's like, how old are these kids?
Yeah, so here's the thing. They gave exact ages. I'm just saying who's going to what school. So at Odyssey Elementary, we have Camilla, and they admitted we haven't heard from her recently. Wyatt, Miles, and Darcy, who are twins, who I don't remember who they are, but
I kind of remembered them. They were in a thing.
And Molly, who is Pole House's granddaughter.
Okay.
Which makes Molly a little younger than I thought, but anyway. So, in Odyssey Middle School, we have Matthew, Maury, Trey, Emily, Susu, Buddy, Olivia, Andy, and Zoe.
Okay.
And now, in the moment that shook me to the core, at Odyssey High School, we have Jay, which they admitted has been inconsistent. Where sometimes he's in middle school, sometimes he isn't, and it fluctuates from episode to episode.
I would assume, I don't know if they gave specific dates, like his specific age.
I believe they said Jay is 15.
Yeah, so he's probably like a freshman.
Right, but even, they even commented like last year, there was an episode where Jay was in high school, then three episodes later he was in middle school. So okay. They are aware he's kind of the character they slot in when they need somebody.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Then Valerie Cooper, Buck, Jules, Ryan, and Bridget. So, not a big deal, but I thought it was just kind of nice that they thought about it.
Yeah.
It also kind of makes sense because... It also not makes sense. It will be interesting to see now that Jay is mentioned to be older than most of the kids he hangs around with, if that changes the dynamics at all.
Maybe. We'll
see. Because that also means Jay is flirty with a middle schooler.
Well, but... It literally could be, like, 14.
Okay, right. You're right. No,
it also
so it's not
very
that.
Well, if Odyssey is a small town, could be a combined high school, middle school.
Well, no, because we've heard of Odyssey Middle School and Odyssey High School.
Yeah, but they could be very close to each other.
Okay, you're not wrong. So let's move on to the episode, The Ark's the Thing. Olivia and Emily disagree on how to put a play on about Noah's Ark.
This is a weird episode. At times I was like, oh, I'm really liking it. And other times I'm like, this is bad.
I tend to agree. I think the biggest problem is, I feel like for most of the episode, Olivia is kind of in the right.
Okay, I would not say that.
I am saying this purely from a production standpoint.
Okay, well, sure. Well, okay, here's the thing, right? It is a VBS. So that's yes. The context. And at one point they say this, and I hate to say it, I'm like, that's kind of true, where they're like, well, doesn't they learn the story from, like, the other sections of, like, VBS? Because it's, like, a rotation. So there, yeah. It's like, when we had a drama camp at our church, there was, like, a story time section where we talked about the story.
Yeah. One other quick thing. I don't know what VBS they're going to. We've never been to a VBS where we had time to put on a play.
Well, what it might be is there are some full-day VBSs. And then also, it could be that, I would not be surprised if in Odyssey they have mold. They're saying, like, it could be a drama week that includes that's, like, called a VBS.
Yes, but then what? But they mentioned at the top of the episode you could sign up for an extracurricular, and only three kids signed up, which we'll get back to in a second. But...
Yeah, it did feel weird. It felt weird. It was like three kids and then...
That was it.
And then one has to play Noah's neighbor.
Yeah. I was surprised like Olivia and Emily weren't playing parts by the end. And I do wish there had been some call out by Wit when the list was too low. We've certainly fallen far in this drama department since the days of Ned Lewis.
So... Interesting episode. I mean... First, an interesting way to address, like, the Noah's Ark thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, like, Noah's Ark is a very, like, hotly debated in Bible literalism or not. Or even, Young Earth creationism sort of groups.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like... I would, if they were going down this path, which, to be honest, I feel like I get why it's important to some people. Like, it's like such a hotly contested matter, but I feel like it's something that's not like necessary for your salvation. So to me, it's like, it's like whether you believe on one side or another of like, oh, did Noah's Ark literally happen? It doesn't necessarily determine whether you're going to heaven or not.
Correct.
And so I feel like if they were going to go down this route, which, you know, I believe that's Odyssey's, I would no doubt that's Odyssey's opinion on the matter. I feel like I wish they would have just addressed it directly Because we get this whole meat and milk thing.
Yeah.
Which is just, I feel like, look, I could go off on a long tangent about, like, why I feel like there's issues with how they did it. But, like, it doesn't fundamentally, first, I believe the meat and the milk one is, like, I don't even think fundamentally do it, because it feels like how it comes out is, like, well, the young kid just shouldn't hear those questions because he only can get milk. And then for us, the meat is that we just believe like a child. And it's like, what? Like, that's, like, such a weird way of selling it.
Yeah, so I would concur with this because, it's that age-old thing where kids mature at different levels. Sometimes they never mature. But you do have to sometimes think, especially with little kids, like maybe one kid wants to know more and the other one might have an existential crisis if you start asking these questions or you start answering these questions. And I do kind of think the episode landed on the side of just don't talk about it was an interesting one.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah, like, or it's like we talk about it by telling him, like, well, all you do is believe. And it's like, well, sure, that is somewhat the fun, but like you can talk about it. You could talk about it like, well, maybe God did this and God did that. And maybe that's what they were getting at, because at the end they talk about like, you know, how do rainbows happen? It's like, it's light reflecting through this, and that's how God, and it's how God made it. So it's like them like kind of like addressing like the technical questions and like the God aspect, but they just don't do any of that for Noah. They don't like thing like, well, it could have been this or it could have been that. And I think the problem is, besides like a very literal like it's just how it happened, they don't want to necessarily talk about like other possible theories of like, oh, old earth, or like, you know, stuff like, well, maybe like just this section of the world was flooded. I don't even know that's like a pop. I'm just like thinking off the top of my head of what like the theories would be, but like, right. It feels like they're like, we want to talk about Noah and we can talk about it through like this lens. So it's like, well, we shouldn't always talk about it to people as kids because they're at different levels of their faith, which is like, okay, that's not bad, but it is a kid show. So it's a weird like thing for a kid show to have.
Yes.
But then at the same time, it feels weird that then they're like, we have to faith the child, which is true, but we're not even gonna, like, that's the whole answer. Like, we're not even gonna talk about, like, because if someone's, like, struggling to figure out the questions, just saying that, I mean, it's like, right, you have to, like, be strong enough in your faith to do that, but it's also not bad to ask questions and think, like, deeper about God and like have use the Holy Spirit to try to figure out what the scriptures are saying and how it can relate to, like,
I would actually contend a show that said it was, that was 20 years ago, for Eugene to ask questions but then say, oh, you can't, I mean, not saying you can't ask questions, I do always kind of feel like when it comes to answering kids questions, they don't back out of it, but it can sometimes be a bit of a loaded gun.
It feels like that maybe what they should have done is not have Noah be the story for this, because yes. I feel like Noah is so controversial. They don't even want to have anything besides the like, just like the story is just true. 100%, 100% everything that it says, that's how it happened. And it could be that, but you still could like posit like this happened this way, or like this happened that way, or like, these are different ways it could have worked out, or like, you know, this is how God could do it, you know, which is all like very valid points.
Yes.
But I feel like there, Noah is like, I mean, there's like the Ark experience, or did that close?
No, it's still open. I just saw a commercial for it during like a football game or something.
Crazy. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it closed. Maybe that was the Holy Land experience.
It was the Holy Land experience.
Okay. That's so, like, hotly contested. I think they were just like, well, it's just faith. And it's like, well, okay. Paul's also, I feel like, if I remember the passage correctly, also, like, a little bit theological matters, right? Like, there's certain, like, things where it's like, well, okay, some of these deeper questions it's that we have to, like, think about more in depth. Like, I think it both are, like, fine ideas for episodes on their own, I actually think. If Odyssey wants to do something about, like, the legitimacy of Noah, or even, like, Jonah, or, like, the legitimacy of, like, scripture from their perspective, I think that's fine. But I think that's, like, an episode that needs to be its own. And then, like, they could have done, like, a meat and milk episode, because it's interesting, like, idea, but I think it needed to be with, like, more, like, oh, like, a Bible study or something, and, like, oh, you're posing like really complicated questions that like where like the question of like how could this many animals be in Noah's Ark is a pretty like general kids question.
Yeah. And actually going on your whole thing about making this a separate episode, I think the meat and the milk thing would have been a good next step in Olivia's faith arc.
Yeah, that probably would have been, yeah.
Like, maybe she's asked to teach a Sunday school class and she still has to deal with this. But it's in more of a scenario where maybe they should be learning it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, because again, this is a play for VBS. I don't know what VBS has the time for this, but...
It's like a 5-minute play, like 7-minute or something.
Yeah, but still, that's a lot of prep.
Like, okay, let me say this. Outside of that, I thought the episode's funny enough.
Yes. There are good jokes in it. I think the play going wrong and stuff is very good.
Fog machine good.
Yes, the fog machine joke is good, and I'm glad that no one got hurt and there wasn't a fire.
The little kid basically being like, did you guys stop fighting because Mr. Whitaker came in?
Yes, that was a great joke.
Very good joke.
But it's also the first time Mr. Whitaker seems to have come in all week, so...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, like, weird. I feel like lately with Odyssey, it's, like, I'm not... Like, the actual jokes and, like, storylines aren't bad, but then it, like, comes around to the message, and I'm just, like, you're trying to do some real high-level messages or, like, high-level plots with almost too simple, like, you're trying to take a simple plot and then add this really complex message to it. And I'm, like, I don't know if that's quite... right. Or like, yeah, I don't know what the order the episodes are coming out in, but the Jules Band episode, where I feel like it's like kind of a complicated situation between her and Bridget to just say, oh, like, Jules is being the bad friend. Well, it's like, well, it's a little more complicated than that.
I would concur. Yeah, so, and look, I'm not saying I take Olivia's side completely on this. I do think if Emily truly came up with a 20-minute rewrite and they had to do 5 minutes, yeah, we're doing Olivia's version.
Yeah, I mean, I actually really thought, though, I mean, it's supposed to be like Olivia's version's not that, or Emily's version's not that good. I mean, I thought it was hilarious that it's basically she just took a Bible commentary or like a study Bible and just added all the footnotes.
I do agree. And like, there's a better version of this joke where like Jay's also doing it with them and he does a, what's it called? Saved by the Bell style. Time out. I've got some facts for you.
That would have been very funny. So, I'll say this. I do think the ending of the Noah one is very cheesy. Yes. And that's why we should all be more like Noah. You know, they probably did Noah because they love the idea that it's like, well, Noah just had blind faith and we also have to have blind faith. Right? Like, which, well, technically, here, let me say this. It's, didn't God like talk to Noah and say, you should build this ark?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's a little like,
yeah, so
I get it. It's like hard because like having blind faith like a child is part of it, but it's also like it's not bad to question things and like try and like investigate things. And how the and I don't know if this was their intention, but how the episode is written, like, right, I feel like they even realized that that's why they had like the rainbow prism thing. Because it feels like they were like, oh, we got to show them handling like a question like that. But then like for a bunch of his questions, it's just like, oh, it's just this. And it's just weird.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is my one thing. Obviously, we've all been to Sunday school, probably people listening to this podcast. And there's always that one kid who asks a few too many questions.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing, but it does kind of feel like the episode turns Olivia into the villain because she's not willing to answer this kid's question, which look. I get it. You don't want to blow off the kids, but if I'm trying to run a thing, there is a time to tell the kid, not now.
Yeah, basically.
Again, I know this is not how to run a play as a middle schooler, so that's not the message of the episode. But yeah, no, I think this episode's fine. I didn't love the joke in Witt's office or the church office or Wilson's office, wherever it was, where Emily said, I get my Corinthians and Caronicles mixed up. What?
Yeah, and then the part where it's like, oh, is that the one where, like, Paul told, like, the Corinthians to
grow up?
To grow up? I was like, how, just, like, weird of a phrase for Odyssey.
I mean, that's just so,
like, people struggling with their, like, trying to figure out, like, their faith, and Paul's like, grow up.
Yeah, I mean, true.
At and least it was like, yeah, that part, almost.
I mean, right, actually, if this was like a Connie and, I don't know, Penny episode, maybe that line would have played a little better.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, because it's talking about two middle schoolers, it's like, okay, yeah, you need to be more mature than the little kids, but I don't think Witt should have expected you to be the Bible scholar.
Yeah, basically.
So,
you know, didn't love the episode because of the reasons I stated. I think it's funny enough. I think it's entertaining enough, but it's just like the story, like I was really into it. And then they started talking about it. I was like, yeah, this is good. This is good. And then he was just like, yeah, kind of like not saying it, but the vibe was just like, yeah, just tell him to believe in it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like maybe if we had seen the whole play, we would have gotten a better.
Like it's such a, like, that's, and that's why I think maybe they need a better, I mean, maybe that's what they intended in that point. I'm like, that's kind of problematic. But it could be they really wanted to do Noah for this, and then they were just kind of like, oh, what do we put here? Just believe.
Yeah, and I would also like to point out, the Ned Lewis, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego episode feels like a more well-rounded episode than this, and the last 10 minutes of that one are them doing the play.
Yeah.
So the last 10 minutes don't really get, and not necessarily don't get to have a message, but.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is we probably could have had a better episode if we had gotten to see what they did for the play. Just my thought. And again, it's a club episode. You can go over 23 minutes.
Yeah, it's true. And you could have shortened it. And the play is really only like, you could have done like a 4 or 5 minute version of the play, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
I don't think that many kids are. I don't think that many kids are keeping count.
That's very true.
And they don't care if we're keeping count.
Well, you hope.
They said it was supposed to be 7 minutes, and it was only 4 minutes.
Hmm. Another ding on Odyssey.
Okay.
All right, so I think that wraps it up. Join us again for the February news roundup, where we'll have all this fun stuff. The album will be over, so we'll get to talk about it. The episode is apparently called One Last Treasure Hunt. So
fun.
No information on it, except a character named Molly is in it, and so is Jason.
Fun. We'll see what it's like.
Oh, Molly is Detective Pullhouse's niece, or granddaughter.
Oh, that she was good.
Yeah, so... Anyway, I guess we'll see. I'm Will.
I'm John.
We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.